very special welcome to all our guests this morning and to our online family. It's great having you all here. I'm going to ask you to please stand and join us as we enter into a time of worship and praise. There's so much excitement here this morning. We're going to be witnessing baptism a little bit later. And it's just so awesome to know that there are new beginnings. That our God is a God whose mercy and grace is new every day. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you that we can just come into your presence. Thank you that you inhabit our praises. We just want to lift our hearts and our voices and our hands to you in worship this morning. Amen.
Quiet. form, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh no.
See a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. throne of mercy, where would I kneel but at this cross of grace? How great the love, how strong the hand that holds us. Beautiful, so so here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life I am yours forever. Scars of healing. There is a Son who came in grace and truth. How great the love that carries us to kindness. Wonderful, so wonderful. So Jesus.
their feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, a faith will stand.
And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are abounds in deepest waters.
oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, you are mine. Oh, you are mine, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for serving us in this moment, Lord, as we even sing this song, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading us. Lord, I thank you for each individual this morning in this church, Lord, that we have the privilege to be led by your Spirit. Father, I thank you even this morning as we here together to worship, Father, that you, Holy Spirit, reveal to us again your goodness, your favor, the new covenant, your grace in our lives. Father, I thank you for what you are doing even right now. You are setting us free, Lord. You are bringing the captives, Lord, into a space of liberty, freedom. And so, Lord, we speak that over every heart here this morning. Freedom, liberty, and free flow of grace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Well, a great welcome and a warm welcome to each one of you. Welcome for everyone that's watching us online. I'm Alfred. I'm one of the pastors here, and we've got a wonderful team of people here. Pastor Steve is the head pastor here, and him and Mama D has traveled to Joburg, and they send their greetings from Johannesburg to you. He has gone there to go pick up his degree in theology, so you can all congratulate him as he comes back. And they're also preaching in a church this morning, so we bless them and speak life over that service. It's another vineyard church there in Johannesburg. So a lot of exciting things happening as we keep on spreading the good news. Amen? Amen. If you are a new guest with us and you are here for the very first time at Neisner Vineyard, we want to welcome you by giving you a small gift and just saying we are so excited for you being here. But I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to put up your hand, because we're going to see who you are, and you're going to have to keep it up until somebody gets to you. There's wonderful people here. I see this man is lifting his wife's hand or his girlfriend's hand. There's people back there. Welcome, guys. You are part of the family when you are here, and we know you're going to have a wonderful Sunday with us. Thanks for joining us. I've got the privilege of reading to you the offering scripture this morning, and you know I like talking about money because I need a lot of it. So that's awesome. So here it is in Luke 16, verse 10 to 11. It says, "He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And so when you look at the scripture, I remember scriptures like this condemned me for a long time, and I would think about them and I'll go like, man, I'm not faithful. And I'm sure if I have to ask you to raise your hand, who is 100% faithful with money, then nobody's going to be able to raise their hands, because we're all unfaithful in some way or another. But the wonderful thing is your born again spirit, that part of you that is born again, is 100% faithful, because God has done a wonderful work in your spirit. And in my personal life, I had to go on a journey of discovering who I am in the Spirit. And then from that place of perfection, that place of being faithful, you work it out into your natural life. And in that way, you don't feel condemned when there's a problem in your financial world, because you go like, man, my spirit man's already been there and he's already doing it right. So I've just got to get with the game in my natural life. And so in that way, you know that God perceives you as a faithful steward even if you're unfaithful on the outside. And I believe as you realize who you are on the inside, you also get with it on the outside. And this scripture is so powerful because it says those who are faithful in the least will also be faithful in much. And I've seen this when I look at so many Christians. If you learn how to be faithful with money, you will see that you will also learn how to be faithful with the true riches, which is the revelation of God, revelation of Jesus. And so many people don't see this. There's a correlation here that if you learn how to work with money well, then you will also learn how to work with your quiet time well, because that's the place where you least, money is the least in the kingdom. And that leads us to the greater riches where we get a revelation of God. So if you're struggling with your Bible time, you're struggling to get revelation out of the Word, I want to encourage you. Take your finances and fill your finance life up with faith. I've done this in my life. I've started speaking faith over my finances, and I've lived in a space of faith in my finances. And that has led me to a place where I've actually been able to receive from God in a different way. Because this is what the scripture says. Be faithful in your finances and you will get a revelation of who God is. It's such an important thing in our lives. And we want to thank everyone in Eisner Vineyard for being so faithful. I mean, I've seen miraculous things happen here since I've been here. We've just almost finished with a baby house, buying that, and all the money has almost come in. And there's such powerful things happening here. And so we are leading the game in terms of being faithful in finances. And we invite you guys into that realm. And we know it's going to be awesome. And then Mama Steffi gave me this photo. I have to be reminded to tell you, pick up your Mother's Day's photos as you leave. It is there. And they look beautiful. We have chosen the one that the wife looks the best on. So sorry, husbands, if you don't make it. And then today is Baptism Sunday. Baptism Sunday is we're doing baptism. Johanna's going to preach to us on baptism this morning, and we're going to have baptism in the service, right after the service, right here. And then we're going to also have a baptism in the Holy Spirit evening tonight, which is going to be awesome. It starts at 6 o'clock. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we would love to invite you. Come tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to see the Holy Spirit come powerfully on people tonight in the service. It's going to be so great. And so we welcome Janu, and we thank you, Janu, for giving an awesome sermon. You guys strap in, get ready for a ride, because I loved the first sermon, and you're going to also have a good time. Enjoy your Sunday. Oh, sorry, I want to say this, guys. Lights back on. Everybody that wants to get baptized, please go and dress right now, okay? Get your clothes on, so after the service, we immediately get baptized, okay? You guys, good. I'm going to go do it as well. I'm going to be in the pool with you.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all. As Alfred mentioned, my name is Janu, one of the assistant pastors here at Eisner Vineyard, and I am excited. I love baptisms. I love talking about baptisms. I've experienced what it did in my life, and I've seen what it did for others. So we're going to have an awesome day of baptisms today, and I believe people are going to experience freedom. They're going to get revelation as we get baptized, and we want to make it a part of a service today. So at the end, we will baptize some people, and those of you that need to go are welcome to go at the end, but I really want to encourage you, it won't take much of your time. But please stay and celebrate with all the believers that choose to get baptized today. But before we dive into the message, I want to share a joke with you, and this is a baptism joke. So I'm sure many of you have heard it before, and I know Pastor Steve likes telling jokes, so maybe he shared it already, but I thought it would be an appropriate time to share this joke as we are doing Baptism Day today. So a man is stumbling through the woods, totally drunk, when he comes upon a preacher baptizing people in the river. He proceeds into the water, subsequently bumping into the preacher. The preacher turns around and is almost overcome by the smell of alcohol, whereupon he asks the drunk, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk shouts, "Yes, I am." So the preacher grabs him and dunks him in the water. He pulls him back and asks, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" The drunk replies, "No, I haven't found Jesus." The preacher, shocked at the answer, dunks him again, But for a little longer, he again pulls him out of the water and asks, "Have you found Jesus, brother?" The drunk answers, "No, I haven't found Jesus." By this time, the preacher is at his wit's end and dunks the drunk again. But this time holds him down for about 30 seconds. And when he begins kicking his arms and legs about, he pulls him up. The preacher again asks the drunk, "For the love of God, have you found Jesus?" The drunk staggers upright, wipes his eyes, coughs a bit of water, catches his breath and says to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" So hopefully, all of you that are getting baptized today have already found Jesus. Hey, don't look for Jesus in the baptism pool, okay? Hopefully you've already found him. But we're very excited about today. I'm going to teach on water baptism today. And tonight, Alfred is teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's just going to be an awesome day. And I really believe it's going to help so many people today. And for those of you that haven't been water baptized, I am hoping to get you so excited about getting baptized today. Even if you didn't plan on getting baptized, you can still choose to get baptized today. Borrow clothes, you know, make a plan. The water is warm. We thought of testing your commitment and making it cold, but it is warm water, so you won't freeze. But, you know, I'm hoping to get you excited. And even for those of you that have been baptized, maybe a long time ago, I believe today will be just a good refresher for you too, and a reminder of who you are in Christ and what happened to you when you chose to follow Jesus. And we need to continually be reminded of who we are in Christ and the new creation we became the moment we chose to follow him. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4 verse 7, "In all your getting, get understanding." So we always encourage people that you don't have to understand everything about water baptism to get baptized. I know for me, the day I got baptized, I didn't understand a lot about, you know, what it meant and why we did it. So you don't have to understand everything there is to understand about it, but you need to have some kind of understanding. And I think for many people, they just think it's a good idea and they do it because everybody does it. But in all you're getting, get understanding. And we want to just help you to get some understanding concerning baptisms today. And in Hebrews chapter 6, we find the writer of Hebrews talking about some of the foundational truths of the New Testament, some essential truths. And one of them he mentions there is the doctrine of baptisms. Notice it's not the doctrine of baptism, it's baptisms plural. Because there are actually three baptisms in the New Testament. Water baptism that we are covering this morning, baptism in the Holy Spirit that we'll talk about tonight. But there's also the baptism into the body of Christ. And that is something the Holy Spirit does the moment you get born again. So that happens automatically as you choose to follow Jesus. It makes you a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the universal church. But then there's also water baptism and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But this shows us it's a foundational truth in the New Testament. It's one of the doctrines and one of the truths that we need to be rooted in, and one of the truths that we need to have a good understanding of. And we see it in Hebrews chapter 6. And then in Matthew 28 is where Jesus gave a great commission to the church and to believers. And we read where Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." So Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And we read in Ephesians chapter 4 that the fivefold ministry is there to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And if I had to define the work of ministry, I would say it's to make disciples. That is what the work of ministry is all about, to make disciples. So it's not just the leaders of a church or leaders of ministries that need to make disciples. Every believer needs to be involved in making disciples of all the nations. But would you agree with me, the first thing that Jesus says after he said, "Go and make disciples," is a very important part of discipleship. If I didn't know what he said and you asked me what I thought he said, I would have said teaching. Teaching must be the very first thing. And teaching is an important part of discipleship, and Jesus mentioned it. But the first thing he said after he said, go and make disciples, was baptize them. In fact, we read where he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you see, becoming a disciple and making disciples involves baptism. Right after Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, he said, baptize them. So baptism is a vital part of discipleship. And I got saved in 2012 on the 29th of November. I always called myself a Christian, but I was never really born again, never had a relationship with God. And in November of 2012, I got saved. Soon after that, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started praying in tongues. And then in January of 2013, I got baptized in water. And it changed my life. I don't know how to explain it to someone, but something in my heart happened. It was almost as if I got a greater understanding of my righteousness in Christ and who I was in Christ and the new creation I became in Him. So water baptism is so important. But in my journey, even after that, I thought of water baptism as something that is important to do, but, you know, not really necessary. And it was only in 2016, when I was a third-year Bible school student, that I really started to study the scriptures concerning baptism, and God really started to show me the importance of getting baptized in water. So I want to say up front that we don't have to get baptized to be saved, and we don't believe that as a church. I personally don't believe it, but it is very, very important. It is symbolic, but it's not only symbolic. It's a lot more powerful than that. And if you haven't been baptized in water, I hope you get encouraged and excited today to get baptized. And then in Acts chapter 2, we find Peter, the Apostle Peter, preaching the gospel to the Jews. And in Acts chapter 2, we also find the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. But then Peter started preaching to the Jews there, and we read from verse 36, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. In verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? So the Bible says they got convicted, pierced to the heart as Peter was preaching the gospel to them. And they asked them, what now? What must we do? You know, meaning what does it entail to be a follower of Jesus? And I think today most believers will respond by saying, believe in Jesus. And that is obviously the most important part. That is how we get saved. But Peter didn't only mention that. Because we read in verse 38 there, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. He simply is saying, believe in Jesus, receive forgiveness, and get born again. But then he went on to say, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the word for there actually means because of the forgiveness of your sins. So we don't get baptized to get forgiven. We get baptized because we are already forgiven as believers. But he went on to say, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive a gift of the Holy Spirit, referring to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You see, I think sometimes we preach a partial gospel where we only focus on getting people born again. But Peter also said, you need to be baptized and you need to receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And verse 41 says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. We haven't baptized 3,000 people in one day yet in this church, but hopefully it's coming. But it's so important to notice here that Peter made it a part of his gospel presentation. When they asked him, what do we need to do to follow Jesus? He said, get born again, believe in Jesus, but also get baptized in water, because he knew it was a very important part of discipleship. And I just want to give you some examples of the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is not just a historical book. It's a book that models what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what the church should look like. It's an example to us. So I just want to give you some examples from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12 to 13, we read, "But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized." So we also find the answer to the question here on when should we get baptized? And ideally, immediately after you believe. After you get born again, you can get baptized. You don't have to wait a month. Now, it's never too late to get baptized, but ideally, as soon as you get saved, you can also be baptized in water. Now, it's important to notice that, you know, we get baptized after we believe. Therefore, we can't baptize a baby. And in fact, the Greek word for baptism means to be immersed. Doesn't mean to sprinkle. I was also sprinkled as a baby, but we don't find that as an example in the word. But we find example after example of how people were baptized, immersed into water after they believed in Jesus. So we need to follow this example that we see in the book of Acts. After we believe, we also need to be baptized. And after we get others to believe, we also need to baptize them. It's so important. And another example is Acts chapter 9. And this was where Saul became Paul. This was where Saul became a Christian, and God sent a disciple named Ananias to him. And we read where Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. So Ananias went to Saul, and he didn't only get him saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. He also shared baptism in water with him. And the Bible says he got up and he was baptized. Another example, I'm going to give you two more examples from the Bible. And in Acts chapter 10, there, we find Peter preaching to the house of Cornelius. And this was the first time where Gentiles got baptized and received a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think most of us are also Gentiles. So this is good news for us. But in Acts chapter 10, we read, "Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, 'Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did?' So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with him for several days." So they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and then baptized in water. So the order doesn't always have to be baptism in water first, then baptism in the Holy Spirit. It can be either way. The only qualification is you need to be saved. If you're born again, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can get baptized in water. And it will help you to live a victorious Christian life. And the last example I want to give you from the book of Acts is Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read several verses there. And verse 1 and 2 says, "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers." Now, were these people saved? The Bible says he found several believers. Does that mean they were saved? Of course. That's why the Bible says they were believers. Some translations say disciples. Now, I think for most of us, if we meet people that we don't know and we find out they're believers, we will just encourage them and say, "Good for you. Keep on believing." But we're going to see now how the Apostle Paul understood the importance of baptism. Because he went on in verse 2 and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And he was asking them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that chapter goes on to say that they responded by saying, "We haven't even heard about it. We were only baptized in the baptism of John." And then Paul explained to them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism in water. And in verse 5, we read, "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied." So Paul didn't just say, "You're a believer, good for you." He also shared baptisms with him because he knew it was a vital part of being a disciple of Christ. And I believe we will do well to follow the example that we find in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a wonderful example of a healthy church and healthy, vibrant believers. And we find example after example of how every person that became a believer also got baptized. So after we believe, nothing should stop us from also getting baptized. I now want to answer the question, what is water baptism and why do we need to baptize people in water? Well, firstly, I'm going to give you three things on what water baptism is. The first thing is, it is obedience to Jesus. And I always tell people, even if you don't understand everything about it, if you want to do it because you want to obey Jesus, then get baptized in water. We saw in Matthew 28 where Jesus said, go and make disciples and teach them to follow the commandments I give you. Not the suggestions, but the commandments. And one of those commandments was to get baptized. Obedience is always powerful and always significant. And water baptism is obedience to Jesus. We get baptized because Jesus said we need to get baptized first and foremost. But we also see in the Word, after a person gets saved, the very next steps they should take is to get baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see that all over in the book of Acts. So if you don't take the very next step that God has for you after you become a follower of Jesus, how are you going to take the other steps that He has for you? Now, please hear me. I'm not saying following Jesus is all about tasks and assignments and just things that He has for us to do. It's about relationship. But even in that relationship, God will have steps for you to take because He has an adventure for you and He has a purpose and a plan for your life and He wants to do things in and through you. But the very next step you should take as a new believer is to get baptized. And I believe you are going to struggle to take step 5, 7, and 10 if you haven't even taken the very next step that you ought to take as a new believer. And that is to get baptized in water and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So water baptism is obedience to Jesus. Secondly, it's a public declaration of your faith. You see, baptism is the deed that expresses what we believe. It's a public declaration of your faith. You don't need a big crowd to witness your baptism, but you do need some people to witness it. But what an opportunity today to do it in front of your church family and showing them and showing the world that you belong to Jesus. You know, imagine if nobody knew that I was married to my wife. You know, we want to show people that we are with someone when we're in love with him. I remember when Irene and I got engaged, you know, she started waving at people a lot. And even the way she waved changes. You know, it wasn't just a normal wave. It was, you know, a kind of wave. And when she walked into a room, the first thing you saw was the ring on her finger, you know. But when we are in love, we want everyone to know that we are with that person and we belong to him. How much more with Jesus? We're not ashamed of being followers of Jesus. We want everyone to know that we are Christ followers. And baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Christ. It's the deed that expresses what you believe. And that's why water baptism is so significant and so powerful as well. And the last thing that water baptism is, it's an outward expression of an inward change. And that inward change that took place already on the inside of you is found in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, where the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this verse excites me, and I need to be careful not to teach on too long on this verse. But it's saying, old things have passed away, and all things have become new in you. That's the inward change that already took place on the inside of you as a follower of Jesus. Now, that change took place in your spirit. Because after we get saved, we still look the same. Now, hopefully you smile a bit more as a believer. Hopefully you look friendlier, but you're still going to look the same. And your soul probably experienced change, but it's not completely changed yet. Because you still have to renew your mind, the Bible says. But your spirit is completely changed. It is like Jesus. The Bible says all things have passed away and all things have become new. You don't have a sin nature on the inside of you anymore as a believer. You still have flesh. You can still be tempted. But the old man is gone, the Bible says. It doesn't say all things are in the process of going away. It says all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is what water baptism symbolizes. Your old man dying and you becoming brand new with Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 out of a message says, when we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. You see, when you go under the water, it's a way of saying bye to that old man that has already passed away on the inside of you. And as you come out of the water, it's a way of saying, I'm a new creation. I'm a new man in and through Jesus. And I like to think of the examples of a funeral and a wedding. Now, if we think of a funeral, when we do a funeral, is that when the person is dying? No, they're already dead. We're just burying the dead body. In the same way, as a believer in Jesus, your old man is already dead. But you need to bury that old man. And when you go under the water, it's a way of saying, I'm not going to identify with the old me anymore. I'm burying it for good. And you know, it might remind us of a funeral, but it will be the most joyous funeral you will ever attend because you want to say bye to your old man. You don't want to identify with that anymore. But then if we think of a wedding, as you come out of the water, you are identifying with a resurrected Christ. Now at a wedding, we have a ceremony and we have a reception. We get married at the ceremony. So when we go to the reception, the celebration, we're already married. We're just celebrating the union. For Irene and me, it was in 2020, in the middle of COVID. Our guest list went down, to say the least. But we still had 30 people attend our wedding and we wanted to celebrate it. We still had a reception. But that was when we celebrated our union. You'll notice at a wedding, the men especially, they will smile at the ceremony, but they will really smile at the reception. Because when they're married to their wives, in the same way, as a believer, you are already married to Jesus. You have a union with Him. You became the bride of Christ, even the men. The moment you said yes to Him and received Him as your Lord and Savior. But baptism is a wonderful way of celebrating that union. And as you come up out of the water, I believe you will get a fresh revelation of what it means to be a new creation. Saying bye to the old man and celebrating the new creation you became in and through Jesus. Praise God, it's an outward expression of an inward change that already took place. It is so, so powerful. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus also said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So Jesus is saying, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Does that mean we need to get baptized to be saved? I don't believe so. But Jesus is saying, if you believe, you will also get baptized. You see, saving faith alone saves. We can't add any work to the finished work of Jesus. But true saving faith will never be alone. Because if you really believe, there will be a corresponding action as well. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And if you truly believe in the finished work of Jesus and you become a new creation on the inside, there will be action. And one of those actions should be getting baptized. That's why Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. I just want to say again, I don't believe you have to be baptized to get saved. But I will also say, if you are a believer and you haven't been baptized and you have no desire to get baptized, I want to encourage you to make sure you are really saved. Because as a new believer who receives the Holy Spirit, I believe he will put the desire in your heart to obey Jesus and to get baptized. So make sure is all I'm saying. And sometimes people also ask, how many times should I get baptized? Only once. Because getting baptized symbolizes being born again. And we only get born again once. Sometimes God is so good to us that we feel like we're getting born again. But, you know, actually we just get born again once. And some of you might be saying, well, I messed up since getting born again. Well, the good news is you're still saved. You can repent, but you don't have to get born again. You're born again. And baptism symbolizes us getting born again. Now, if you got sprinkled as a baby or you got baptized to please mommy or to please a preacher, or you weren't sure you were really saved and when you got baptized, then you can get baptized again. But only once is needed. But baptism is symbolic, but it's not only symbolic. It is powerful. And something can happen in your life when you get baptized. I'll end with this story. I've heard this story of someone who got water baptized, and a friend of mine told me this story, and I wasn't sure it was true. So I did some research, and I saw that it was actually David Pawson who told this story. And David Pawson actually knew this man to whom it happened to personally. And apparently this man stayed quite close to him. So I believe his story is absolutely true. But there was a man who was a Satanist. And he was following the devil and he got all kinds of tattoos. Just normal tattoos. But then he got a tattoo of a devil on his chest. I'm not sure if it was a satanic sign or just a devilish tattoo. But it was a weird tattoo. And then this man got radically saved. He became a follower of Jesus. And he decided he wanted to get baptized in water. And at his church, they had a baptism service coming up and he wanted to get baptized. Now at that church, they baptized people or they wanted the people to wear white when they got baptized. Now, you don't need to do that, just the way they did it at the church. And he was a bit nervous because he thought, you know, if I'm gonna wear white, people might see through my shirt and they might see this tattoo. And he tried to get the tattoo removed and didn't have enough time, didn't have money to get it removed. So he just decided, you know what? I know people can be judgmental, but I'm a follower of Jesus now. I'm going to get baptized. So he got baptized in water during one of his services. And as he came out of the water, he just noticed that everyone was normal. You know, nobody made a weird comment or looked at him in a strange way. And he just thought, you know, Christians are so kind. They don't judge people. But when he went into the bathroom and when he looked into the mirror, that tattoo was washed away as he got baptized. And the interesting thing is he still had all of his other tattoos. So Jesus is not against tattoos. But God wasn't going to let one of his children have a tattoo of a devil on his chest. And that tattoo was washed away as he got baptized in water. Now, if you go to that man and tell him, water baptism is just symbolic and just a good idea, I think you will laugh to your face because he knows it is powerful. And there's something interesting about water. You know, because it makes us clean on the outside, we sometimes think it can make us clean on the inside too. Sometimes when people struggle with guilt or when they feel dirty on the inside, they take a shower and they wash themselves. And now especially with women, when they get abused, they just want to take a bath or a shower. But unfortunately, a bath or a shower can't clean you on the inside. But you know what can? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can make you as white as snow. It can make you righteous, conscious. And when you get baptized in water, you identify with the blood of Jesus. You identify with what the blood of Jesus accomplished for you. And when you said yes to Jesus, the old man died and the new man in you was born. The new creation in you that looks just like Jesus. So water baptism is so powerful. If you've never been baptized in water, I want to encourage you to do it. Don't wait any longer. It will help you in your Christian journey. It will help you to experience the victory that God has for you. It will give you fresh revelation of who you are in Him. And today we're going to celebrate with people who are going to get baptized. And it's going to help them in their journey. And it's going to change their lives forever. They will never forget it as they choose to get baptized today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to the front. And I'm going to ask you just to stay seated. And just before we end the online service, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. just to close your eyes for a moment, I just want to give everyone here and everyone watching online an opportunity to follow Jesus. And if you are here today or you are watching online and you haven't chosen to be a follower of Jesus, or you are not sure and you want to make sure today, you want to know for certain that you belong to Him, I want to give you that opportunity today. Now, if you are sure, be confident in that, that's great. That means you're a born-again child of God. But if you're not sure and you want to become a new creation in Him, you want a changed life, today can be the start of your journey. And if that is you today, if you are here in the service or watching online, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. If that is you today, if you want to choose to follow Jesus, I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. If that is you today, if you want to make sure you're a born-again Christian, a new creation in Christ, please raise your hand. I just want to lead you into a prayer. Anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask those who raised their hands and just the rest of you to join them and just pray after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for paying for my sin. Today I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to become a new creation. I want to belong to you. And I want to follow you. I am now yours. In Jesus' name. Lord, we celebrate with people who said yes to you for the first time. We celebrate with them, Lord. And we welcome them into your family, into the body of Christ. And Lord, we also pray for people who are getting baptized today. We just know that all of heaven are celebrating with them today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as they get baptized, that they will no longer identify with the past or past mistakes or the old them. We pray that they will identify with a new creation they became in you, Lord. Lord, I also pray as people get baptized today that they will experience the love and the joy that you have over them, Lord. And we celebrate with our brothers and sisters who are taking this important step, Lord, in their journey. And Lord, thank you for reminding all of us too that baptism is not the end of a journey. It's the start of a journey. The best is yet to come. I pray for people, Lord, who might be longing for purpose. Thank you, Lord, that we find purpose in you. Thank you, Lord, that we find freedom in you. And thank you, Lord, that you provided everything we would ever need through the death, burial, and resurrection of our risen Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you today. Thank you, Lord, that we get to make disciples and be a disciple because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank everyone who watched online. If you haven't been baptized in water, make a plan, call someone. You need to get baptized. But we're going to end the online service now. But thank you so much for joining us. You are highly favored and deeply loved. For the rest of you, please stay seated. If you really need to go, you can go. But we're just going to ask you for a few extra minutes. We want you to witness people getting baptized. So they already changed. So they should be ready.